Monday, December 2nd. First reading from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream toward it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways, and we may walk in his paths." For from Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and impose terms on many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise the sword against another, nor shall they train for war again. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Haydock Commentary. Here, many particular prophecies are blended with the general one, which really regards Christ. The whole time of the new law, from the coming of Christ till the end of the world, is called in the Scriptures the last days, because no other age or time shall come after it, but only eternity. The mountains show the perpetual visibility of the Church of Christ, for a mountain upon the top of mountains cannot be hid. This evidently regards the Church, because the Jews can never show the fulfillment of this prophecy in any material temple. The word of the Lord shall go forth from Jerusalem, because our Savior preached there, and in some sense the religion established by him may be esteemed a reform or accomplishment of the old law. They shall never train for war again, because Hezekiah enjoyed peace after the defeat of Sennacherib, as the whole world did at the birth of Christ. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. That is, Hezekiah, or rather Christ and his church, invite all to embrace the true faith. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 11. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion approached him and appealed to him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, suffering dreadfully." He said to him, "I will come and cure him." The centurion said in reply, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come here,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and said to those following him, "Amen, I say to you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west, and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet in the kingdom of heaven." Haydock Commentary. This centurion is the same one who, in Luke 7 verse 3, is said to have sent messengers to our Savior. But there is no contradiction, for what a man does by his servants or friends, he is said to do himself. By his message he showed an extraordinary faith. The centurion shows a much stronger faith in the power of Christ than those who let down the sick man through the roof, because he thought the word of Christ alone sufficient to raise the deceased. And our Savior, to reward his confidence, not only grants his petition, as he does on other occasions, but promises to go with him to his house to heal his servant. St. Augustine is of the opinion that he did not go himself in person, for he thought himself unworthy, but that he sent first the ancients of the Jews, and then his friends, which last were to address Jesus in his name and with his words. On this occasion our Savior does what he never did before. Everywhere indeed he meets the will of his supplicants, but here he runs before his request, saying, "I will come," and this he does to teach us to imitate the virtue of the centurion. Origen says, "When thou eatest and drinkest the body and blood of our Lord, he entereth under thy roof. Thou also, therefore, humbling thyself, say, 'Domine non sum dignus,' 'Lord, I am not worthy.'" So said St. Chrysostom in his Mass, and so doth the Catholic Church say at this day in every Mass. Christ compares the faith of the centurion with that of the people in general, and not with that of his Blessed Mother and the apostles, whose faith was beyond a doubt much greater. When it says that Jesus, hearing this, marveled, St. Augustine says, "Only by his outward demeanor did Christ seem to admire. But knowing all things, he could not properly admire anything." When he says, "I have not found so great faith in Israel," this need not be understood of everyone, but of those whom he had cured. In consequence of the faith of this Gentile, Jesus Christ takes occasion to declare that many Gentiles would be called to sit at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, which is frequently represented under the figure of a feast.